So we're going to continue on tonight with the doctrine of Satan and devils in the Bible. I don't particularly enjoy teaching or preaching on this. The Bible says the gift of a pastor is actually pastor and teacher. It's a kind of a dual gift in the Bible, and that's one thing I think I always told Karen. I said preaching ought to be teaching, and teaching ought to have a little preaching in it, and for it to be what the Bible would have it to be. So we're going to continue on this thing tonight, and let's pray that God will get in it. But number one, we're talking right now about the activity of Satan. What's Satan doing? I had a guy one time years and years ago who came to church here, and he got mad at me because something I preached. I said that the devil wasn't in hell, and he got mad at me, called me to his home, and gave me a big lecture about it. And I said, well, the reason I said that is because the Bible said he goes to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking whom he may devour. Now, I know he has access to God in heaven, but I think it's important to know his activities. And I have a tendency to blame the devil sometimes for what my flesh is doing. But sometimes I think maybe I've got my flesh messed up, and I think I'm under a satanic attack too. The flesh can come under a satanic attack. And we have three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I tell you, it's incumbent upon us to be alert to the fact that there is an enemy, and he's not playing games with us. He means to rip us to shreds in our lives. And so we need to be aware of it. But first of all, he imitates God tonight. The activity is that he imitates God. I'm telling you, there's nothing that God has ever done but what he tries to create an imitation of it. Imitation Bibles. He'll have an imitation Christ. But he has an imitation Trinity. And I'm going to give you the scriptures on this. Revelation 13, verse number 2, and I'm going to try to move pretty quick. The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear, and the mouth of the lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Revelation 16, 13 says, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So you have the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. The dragon is a imitation of God the Father. The beast is a imitation of God the Son. And the prophet is a imitation of God the Holy Spirit. So whatever God does, you can know that Satan will try to have an imitation of it. And I'm telling you, he has an imitation spirit. He imitates the Holy Spirit. Unbelievable how the Satan and the satanic spirit can imitate in people, literally in churches and religions, and think the Spirit of God. How many's ever been in church service and you just said, man, if this is the Holy Spirit, I ain't got it. I've been in services where they were saying this is the power of the Holy Ghost, and my spirit was just checking me, warning me, saying there's something wrong here. And just like totally, you know, like this is not. And I've said to myself, if what this I'm seeing and sensing in this church house is the Holy Spirit, I don't have the Holy Spirit, but it was a warning, just like a radar going off in me. But anyway, this triune satanic trinity will be at work during the tribulation period specifically and mostly. Now, I said the other day about a leopard a little bit. It mentions a leopard and a bear and a lion. And this here beast is going to have these characteristics. There's an old teaching way back in the days when men used to dig in the Bible some, but I'll throw this at you. A leopard has spots, black spots on yellow body with a white belly. And if you'll think about this, the three colors of the people of the world. And in the latter days, the old-time preachers used to preach this. They said by the time that the tribulation comes and so forth, and the end of time is, you'll see that the yellow peoples, which we call the Asian peoples, will be dominant on the earth. Think about China right now. And that the black people, or the darker people, will be scattered throughout that, but under will be the white. In other words, they'll be dominated by the yellow people and the black people. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not. I don't know whether that's accurate. That's a prophetic teaching that is old. But you wonder about it. Bear is powerful and quick, is a seizing power, dominant. You know, when a grizzly comes through the wood, everything moves out of the way. And of course, he's pitching here the characteristics of the beast. Let me throw this at you. If you went to the United Nations today, you would find out that that teaching is dominant in the United Nations right now. Guarantee you. You think it through, and that prophetic teaching I just gave about the leopard is dominant. The United Nations, literally, politically, in its power, is just like the leopard. And then, of course, the lion is proud and lifted up and arrogant. And of course, these are typologies of the Antichrist and then the Satanic Trinity. Number two, he imitates God in that he has synagogues or worship places. There are literally churches of Satan, but the Bible talks in Revelation 2:9 that the synagogue of Satan. It says, "I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." There's a real movement in America. It's kind of, some of it's in the Aryan movement. It's called British Israelism. Y'all heard of that? And where they claim that they're the 10 tribes of Israel, and they claim, now this is where some of your anti-Israel teaching comes from, is that they, exactly what this verse says, they say they are Jews and are not, but of the synagogue of Satan. Now, what it is, I'm going to tell you something. Gentiles are not Jews, and I don't care what they say. I've dealt with these people. I've been in church services where they bombarded me after the service. Well, I mean, literally, I've had, there's places I don't even go preach now. There's places I've refused to go preach right now. Because in that group and in that bunch of people, there's these Jew haters who claim that the people in Israel today are not Jewish people. And the Jews up in New York and down in Florida are not Jews. But they're the 10 tribes of Israel, the 10 lost tribes of Israel. And that's the awfulest mess you've ever seen in your life. And they take, it's the replacement theology where the church has replaced. And they we are spiritual children of Abraham, according to the Bible, right? We are spiritual children of Abraham, but we are not physical children of Abraham. And that's the difference. What they do is they take the spiritual application the Bible makes and they say we are literally the physical seed of Abraham. Not true. And so God deals with that. So Satan has raised up even a false Jew, a false Israel. Amazing, isn't it? He has his doctrines. 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible speaks, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And we could go, I could preach on that for an hour. If you just think about all the doctrines, false doctrines out here, well, what are they? They're doctrines of devils. They're doctrines of devils. And that's why you want to know the Bible, right? And divide the word of truth. You know the Bible. If you know the Bible, you'll spot doctrines of devils. It's a real thing. It's not just somebody's stupid idea. Let me tell you about these cults. They get started by demon-possessed people. People who have been infested with demons, and they teach false doctrine. They pervert the scriptures. He has mysteries. The Bible talks about the mystery of godliness. Does anybody out here know what the mystery of godliness is real quick? It was when Christ came in the flesh. The Bible says over there in Timothy, I can't think of the verse right now, but the mystery of godliness, God in the flesh, is manifested in the flesh. It's a mystery to the world. They just don't understand how God could be virgin born, how he could come in flesh. And it's called the mystery of godliness. Okay. By the way, that mystery goes further in the fact that is God in us. And it's a mystery to the world. I mean, they just don't get it. It's foolishness to them. But we're born again of the Spirit of God. And Christ lives in us by his Spirit. And it's not our righteousness, it's his righteousness that's imputed to us that saves us. And that just blows everything the world just, until the Holy Spirit of God reveals that to you, you really don't have it. But there's a mystery of iniquity. In 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, here's what I'll tell you. If the mystery of godliness is Christ in the flesh or the incarnation of Jesus Christ, then the mystery of iniquity must be Satan in the flesh. And I'm not going to chase that rabbit to you, not tonight, but let me tell you this. Judas, Jesus said Satan entered into him. Okay? I believe that the Antichrist will be a supernaturally conceived person, and he'll be the devil in flesh. In order for him to imitate the work of God, the work of the triune Godhead, and if you compare that verse of mystery of godliness to the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of godliness is the deity of Jesus Christ in his virgin birth, taking on the form of man, becoming a man. And if that be the case, then the mystery of iniquity must be that the Antichrist or the devil will be in flesh. And that's what the Antichrist basically will be. Does God have a throne? Yes. Satan also has a throne. Revelation 2:13. God says, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Revelation 13:2 speaks of the dragon, the Antichrist there, and the Satanic Trinity, and his seat and great authority. There is a seat, there is a throne of iniquity, the Bible speaks of. So God has a throne, he has a throne. God has a mystery of godliness, Satan has a mystery of iniquity. Does God have a kingdom? Yes, he does. In Luke 4, 6, what did the devil tell Jesus? He took him up there and showed him this kingdom. He is the God of this world. He is the prince of the power of the air. And by the way, most of what you're seeing on a daily basis in the way of news, the way of political news, the way of cultural news, and you go, my land, people's lost their mind, this country's going crazy, you know what it is? It's the manifestation of the satanic kingdom. The flood of iniquity that's coming in through the power of Satan. Does God have worshipers? Yes, he does. Hopefully we are tonight. Satan has worshipers. In Revelation 13, 4, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. Listen, people worshiping the devil right now in ways they don't dream of. And I could go into a lot of this stuff, but I want to keep moving. Does God have angels? Yes. The Bible said that Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Revelation 12, 7. Does God have ministers? Yes, he does. 2 Corinthians 11, 15 teaches us that Satan has ministers. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, talking about Satan, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. God said they're literally transformed into angels of light, ministers of righteousness. And I'm here to tell you tonight that deception can get you. If you don't know the Bible and you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can be deceived. I mean, it can seem so good and so right and so wonderful. But I tell you right now, if a guy doesn't believe in hell, he's a false prophet. If he doesn't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, if he doesn't believe in blood redemption, and he doesn't believe in salvation but grace through faith alone, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the substitutionary work of Christ on the cross, it's a false gospel. Paul warned, he said, they'll bring another gospel, they'll bring another spirit, and they'll bring another Christ. Galatians chapter 1. Does God do miracles? Yes, he does. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. I'm telling you something. Remember down in Egypt, Moses throwed his rod that turned into a serpent. Pharaoh just said, that's no big trick. Call my magicians over here. And they throw theirs down. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of wild stuff going on out here. You go into some church service, you see on TV some guy does a miracle and say something like that. Don't even let it faze you. Don't let it even faze you. Does God have sacrifices? Yes, he does. And Jesus Christ is our sacrifice for our sins. And then we're to offer our body a living sacrifice. And we're to offer the sacrifice of our lips to the praise of God and to serve the Lord. We're to present our body. 1 Corinthians 10, 20 says that I say unto you, the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice unto devils. He said, I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Do we have a fellowship? Does God have a fellowship? Yes. Does Satan have a fellowship? Yes. You should not have fellowship with devils. Does God have an army or armies? Yes. Satan does too, and there'll be a war between the armies of God and the armies of Satan. The Bible teaches Isaiah 24, 21 in the book of Revelation. Let's talk about another thing Satan does. He sows tares among the wheat. Why do you reckon Satan would like to throw tares among the wheat? Disruption. Get you confused. You don't understand what's going on. You didn't think Christianity ought to be like that. How many people are not in church today because some tear in the church ripped them up? He tore them up. He teared them up. And Satan sows tares among the wheat. You just won't get used to it. I don't care whether you're walking in here, walking in any church in this country. There's going to be tares in there. There's going to be people who claim to be saved who are not. Sorry. And I'll tell you something else. You can't tell it by an outward observation a lot of times. Jesus said you let them grow up. When tares and wheat, if you do a study on that, before they mature, you can't tell much difference in them. And this is where it really pastoring really comes tough. Because if a pastor sees a tear, he has a tendency to want to pull that tear up. And God says, you leave him alone. I'll take care of that. That's why church needs to be on its knees, praying, stay strong spiritually so that something, stuff can't infect you. Let me tell you something. Tears walk into churches and they'll just pop up in Sunday school classes and they'll mill around here and talk over here and talk over here. And they'll sow discord here and sow discord there and defile this person and defile that person. And they'll just keep looking for the weak sheep and they'll just keep working and working and working. And pretty soon, if you're not careful, they'll start introducing false doctrine into the church and people start believing it. And they'll be so slick and so smooth and I mean all this stuff. And I mean, it's just there. It's part of, hey, listen, it's part of Christian living. It's part of attending a church. It's part of being a fellowship. You just want to get used to it. There is no perfect, sinless, spotless, you know, he's coming after a church without spot and blemish, but he'll take care of that part of it. But the church, what you're going to practically experience is going to have some problems in it. Tares in the wheat. Satan instigates false doctrine. Again, the Bible says in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, and forbidding to marry, abstain from meats. Sounds like an attack on marriage to me. Sounds like vegetarian diet to me. You know, and I'm not against somebody being a vegetarian as long as you don't try to make that part of your spirituality. When you start making that part of your spirituality, you're off base way bad. And I've had a little of that in here over the years. I've had quite a bit over here in 30 years. You know, and the funny thing about it is, you know what happens most of the time? You get hit with it and all of a sudden you find out that was in the Bible. God was trying, I should have already been with it. Now, here's another thing Satan does. He not only false doctrine imitates God, but he perverts the Word of God. And this is so important right here. Let me tell you something. This is where you're going to be on the ball. The first thing the Bible he did was say, yea, hath God said. That's the first statement you'll ever read of Satan ever saying. He will pervert the Word of God. And you know as well as I do, he'll add to it, or he'll take away from it, or he'll wrest it and twist it, take it out of context. He quoted Scripture to Jesus Christ out of context. He added to Eve, and then Eve, I believe, took away. But I'd have to go back to all that. But what I'm saying is, he will do that. And now, another thing he'll do is cause it to be, he'll encourage people to interpret the Bible. It is amazing to me. I grew up literally being in church and stuff, hearing all about interpreting the Bible. I didn't know until after I started studying the Bible, after I got saved, that we're not supposed to interpret the Bible. Yeah. And it expressly says that. No scripture is given of any private interpretation. Interpreting the Bible is where we got all of our different denominations. The Bible said we're to rightly divide the word of truth and we're to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. This evening, before I come to church, and I've got it laying right here. I wanted to do so bad a message tonight. I want to preach to this church so bad a message on chastisement, understanding chastisement. I believe this is one of the greatest things that needs to be taught to Christian people, is how to understand chastisement. More Christians get blowed out of their Christian life because they don't understand chastisement. Chastisement is critical to understand. If you're a son of God, child of God, you better understand chastisement because you are going to be chastised. And if you don't understand it from Scripture, and there's a lot of Scripture in there. But what I'm saying is Satan can make you think that God doesn't love you. He perverts the Word of God. Or if he can make you think that, you know, that you're saved by grace, yes, but you've got to do this in order to keep saved. He just keeps twisting the Word of God around. And if you're not careful, what happens to a lot of churches is they'll take and run rabbit trails. I mean, I'm guilty of it. Anybody can do it. Accentuate some areas of Scripture over other areas of Scriptures, or neglect things that just doesn't really hit you good, that you want to do so you don't hit those things. You just jump those things every time they come to it. That's sinful for a preacher to do that. Because we're to preach the whole counsel of God. We're to preach the Word of God. And there's a... I want to preach a message that when I'm doing this, the sin of silence. I'm telling you something, one of the greatest sins going on in America, greatest sins going on in families, the sin of silence. Pitiful. I'm telling you that the sin of silence is destroying families, destroying marriages, destroying homes. Let me tell you something. How many of you want me to be silent about sin up here? How many would you like me to say, well, you know what? If my kids do it, whatever they're doing wrong, I ain't going to preach on it. I'm going to be silent about that. You know what you do? You'd pick that up in a heartbeat. And you would know intuitively, if you have the Holy Spirit, that is a sin to be silent where you should speak. Now you balance that in Scripture with, a fool uttereth all his mind. Okay? All right. So that's one thing there. Look, second thing, the Bible says this. Now watch this. He hinders the work of God's servant. Well, I'm telling you something. Think what Paul said here. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. We would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. I'm telling you something. Every Sunday morning we walk in this church house. Every time we walk in here, I promise you, Satan is going to try to hinder this service. He's going to try to put somebody in a bad mood. He's going to try to make somebody do something stupid, say something stupid, look stupid, talk stupid, you know, have an attitude or have a spirit that just kills the service. How many has been saved long enough, went to church long enough? You know, you walk into church, you sense, hey man, something's wrong here. And you know, the truth about it is, if a church is having problems, we ought not blame each other. It's spiritual warfare. Why do we attack one another? So, you know, in church, I say to churches, why do you attack one another? Listen, if you got something wrong, you got to deal with it. That's right. But behind all the junk is the devil. And he is hindering the work of God. I mean, tell you what, you ought to try preaching. And you're up here, you know, and the Holy Spirit's leading you and directing you. I mean, Satan's going, boy, I wouldn't preach about that. I mean, it's just, you know, he hinders. This is a big one. This one I experience a lot. In Daniel chapter 10, Satan resists prayers. For 21 days, the Bible said, Satan withstood Daniel's prayers. That's why God wants you to persevere in praying and not give up. I have a few things that I'm praying about in my life that I've been praying about for years. And I'll tell you something. It's not a matter of, Paul said, I besought the Lord thrice and that's enough and quit. This situation is something I know I have got to keep on, keep persevering, not give up. As far as I know, I'm perfectly in the will of God about it. I don't have any idea. In fact, as far as I know, I'm scripturally in the will of God about it. And I'm asking God to hear and answer my prayer. You know what I really believe? And I've told Karen this. I believe that we are experiencing a spiritual warfare, that Satan is coming in these areas of our life, in these areas that he wants to destroy the work of God there. And Satan will hinder you. You need it. When you start to pray, when you go to pray, understand you're going to meet Satan right there. You're going to meet him when you're praying. And you may not feel like praying, and you may feel, and he may bring all kinds of stuff to your mind when you're trying to pray. And he may tell you how sorry and low down you are. Best thing you can do is say, that's exactly right. Get out of here and plead the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm not praying in my name anyway. I'm praying in Jesus' name. I'm not coming on the basis of my righteousness. I'm coming on the basis of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have to literally do that. I'll just tell you, I think I did that today. If it wasn't today, it was yesterday. I just literally said, God, I ain't coming on my name. I'm coming in Jesus' name. Woe is me. I'm an undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, dwelling in the midst of an unclean people. But it's not me. It's the I never had an prayer answered in my life on the basis of how good a person I am. All the prayer I've ever had answered is in the name of Jesus Christ and His righteousness. But He'll resist your prayers. Understand that. Don't give up. He blinds men to the truth. The God of this world hath blinded the minds. Little g, God of this world hath blinded the minds. I think about Tanner back there tonight. I'm going to tell you what we need to pray is that God will take the blinders away from him. I'll tell you, the people in my family, the people in your family, I'm telling you something. If they could see hell and they could see judgment, they'd get saved right now, instantly. Why don't they? They're blinded. Satan blinds the minds of those which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine unto them. And then in Matthew chapter 13, literally Satan does something. When somebody gives somebody the word of God, he steals it from them. People have been in church, maybe they've heard a message on the radio, and the Holy Spirit, and Satan will literally reach in and steal it from people. I've had people tell me, Reggie, I was convicted, but I didn't respond to it, and I just, then pretty soon it wasn't there. The Bible said, the wicked one catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. Now, it's an important thing that Satan didn't understand it. That's why preaching needs to be clear, plain, simple, where children can understand it. Amen. Quit giving people a bunch of stuff that's way, trying to sound theological. Give it to them simple, where they can understand that they're lost and why they're lost, and they understand how they're saved. Simple. Amen. How many's ever seen the movie The Sullivan Brothers? All right? Five brothers up in Waterloo, Iowa, were killed on one ship in World War II. It's a good movie if you can scrape out the Catholicism. They were from a Catholic family. Karen and I watched it the other night. And, it's a good movie. I mean, it really is. And, let me tell you something. Catholic people are just people like you are. They're unsaved, but they're unsaved. Okay? And this is the family of brothers all went together. But the thing about it is, the movie opens up with these little kids being baptized by the priest as infants, and then as little bitty boys going into confessional. I mean, when they're little bitty rascals, and their first confessional was a big day. And Karen pointed out, she says, "Reggie, I had no idea that they took their kids into confessional that young." I said, "Honey, if they didn't take them in before the kids knew what was going on, they couldn't get them in there at 13 or 15. So they start taking them in when they're 4 and 5 and 6 years old. It's in that range. And these kids, is all they've ever done. Mom and Daddy does it, so we do it. You go in there in your little box and you tell the priest everything you've done wrong." And so, anyway, it's just unbelievable. But anyway, I don't know, get all that. But he'll steal the word from the heart. Here's a big one, what Satan will do. He will accuse the brethren before the Lord. The Bible said, "The accuser of our brethren, which accused them before the Lord day and night." And I'll tell you something, I have sinned, you know, or disobeyed God, whether it be by omission or commission, and the Holy Spirit grieved within me. And you know what comes to my mind? That Satan was able to go before God and say, "Look what he did. He says he loves you. He says he serves you. Look what he did." And that ought to grieve us, that Satan can go before God. And that's why we ought to not want to sin. Because I'll tell you what, it'd be like somebody coming to me about my kids and saying, "Let me show you what your kid's done. Look what your child did." And when we sin, we need to understand it's a lot more than just, we are bringing reproach to the name of the one who loved us and gave his son for us. And I'll tell you something. You know what? I've often said this love will keep you from sin. It really will. If I love Karen, I want to be faithful to her. I'm telling you, if I love this church, I want to be faithful to the church. If I love God, I want to obey the Lord and do what he says. Love is a greater motivator than anything I know of. The fear of the Lord is a wonderful motivator, but I tell you something, love is higher. You know, we ought to fear God, and I do fear God, but I want to love God so much, I don't want the devil to be able to go before him and say, "Look what Reg is doing." And if we could just get that into our hearts and say, cry out to God, say, "Oh God, help me to love you more than I've ever loved you, so I won't want to do those things." But Satan is an accuser, and so you need to keep that in mind. Let's not give him much to accuse us about. I'll tell you how vicious he is, and how cruel he is. He went to Job, who was an upright man. And God said that, not Job. Perfect. Eschewed evil. And Job still went, and this is what he accused him of. He said, "He's not serving you because he loves you. He's serving you because he's wealthy and you bless him." It doesn't matter. He'll find out some way to accuse you. He also lays snares for people. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 2:26 that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. That's a trap. And there are lots and lots of traps. There's woman traps, money traps, you know, men traps. There's just traps. Pleasure traps, you know. I mean, there just is. Pornography is a trap. Money can be a trap. Lust is a trap. And Satan lays these traps out. I mean, you know, how do you do traps? The Bible said the snare. What's that verse in Proverbs about the snare set in the side of any bird? You don't set it right out there where you can see it. The bird will go, "Oh, there's a snare. I'm going to go around that." No. What do you do with traps? You cover them up. You make them where you can't see them. And you lead them into it. And that's what Satan does. Most people I've ever talked to, most of my experience when I was in a trap, I have literally in my Bible notes written about situations where I was in a trap and praying. And because the Bible said that God will deliver us from the snare of the fowler. We can be delivered. We can be delivered from it, but we can also be delivered out of it. And so I'll encourage you now. You say, "Man, I got in a snare." Well, listen, cry out to God. There's not a snare Satan has what God can't deliver you out of. But it's better to be delivered from it, ever going into it, than to be delivered out of it. Also, Satan tempts. Jesus was tempted of the devil, the Bible says clearly, flatly, plainly. The Bible said in Ephesians 6:11 that the wiles of the devil, the trickery, the subtlety, the cunningness, the way he did Eve, the way he did David. It talks about David, that Satan provoked David to number the nation of Israel. And how many thousands of people were killed because of that? I forget now, it's like 70? I think 70,000 people died because Satan snared David into disobeying the word of God. And he can snare you by fear. And you can be driven by fear into a snare. And you can be driven by lack of trust. You don't trust God, so you run and do something, try to fix the situation. And we're driven into a snare. And I'm running through these things. I realize that tonight, but If I were you, I would get this CD and I would stop this thing. And I'd look these scriptures up and I'd think about this stuff and I'd work that stuff through. By the way, can I say something to you young people tonight? Old time Bible believing Christians have been meditating before the yoga people ever dreamed of it. Meditate upon the Word of God. We're to meditate in it day and night. Meditate on the Word of God. And you know what's the stupidest thing I ever seen? I never even thought about the concept of meditation. I was at SMS walking along the sidewalk one day, and this dude sitting over in a roll and got his legs all squatted up, and he's sitting up on a knoll there. He goes, and I said, what in the world is that? And the guy said, he's meditating. You know, and it wasn't, and that's how kids get pulled in. Man, them guys, they ain't ashamed of being a Hindu. They ain't ashamed of being a Buddhist. They ain't ashamed of worshiping all that junk set over on the grass while 5,000 kids are walking by going, and the legs all bowed up and everything. And I didn't even realize that my Bible had said that I should meditate in the Word of God day and night. I thought, for a long time, I thought meditation was for a bunch of jerks over in the East. God said, no, hey, wait a minute. It's what you're meditating on. And you and I have to meditate on the Word of God. Well, he afflicts us. You need to know this. The Bible said, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job. Now, he can't touch you without God's permission, but God permitted it. Now, you have a sin-cursed body. Get this down. And it's going back to the dust. You can just lay her in the book. You're going to die somehow or another. And it's cursed from the curse of the Garden of Eden. But I'll tell you, there's more to it than just that. We can be smitten. We can be afflicted. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, he said that there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You don't hear that preached much in the prosperity gospel business. I'll tell y'all something. You live for God out there. You'll serve God and you commit your life to Jesus Christ and you mean business about it. Can I tell you something? There's a good chance you may get smitten. You may get afflicted. God may let Satan afflict you to test you and try you and to build you. And God uses that to bring you to... By the way, how many have ever appreciated Job at least once in your life? You've appreciated what Job went through. It just helped you a little bit. Well, God has a purpose in it. I mean, the other night I was thinking about this lady when they came and give her the news that her 5 sons all died in that ship. I'm telling you something. You can't help but have compassion for anybody in the world like that. Mrs. Bixby, whom Abraham Lincoln wrote a letter to, the great letter in the Civil War, lost 5 sons in the Civil War. But can you imagine having 7 sons and 3 daughters? And somebody runs in the house and said they're gone. When they came in to see the Sullivans there, the dad asked, they knew bad news there because the recruiter that those 5 had all recruited the same day walked in the house and they knew something was on. And he said, which one? The daughter-in-law, who had a child, the only grandchild they had, said, is it Al? And he said, it's all of them. And the mother said, all. And just sunk down in the divan. I'm telling you something. It doesn't make any difference. You're saved, lost. Rough things can hit you. This is a sin-cursed, rough, rough world. But I'm telling you, God's people can be afflicted. We tend to think that if I serve God and do right, everything's going to be just okay. Yes, there is a hedge. And we ought to pray that hedge. And I don't want trouble. And I'm not wanting to be a Job. I'm not volunteering for anything. Amen. But you know something? I will say this too. That's why you want to be real careful about people, judging people when they're going through problems. It could be that Satan said, I'll tell you what you do. You let me tear up his family, and I'll show you how much he loves you. You let me tear up their marriage, and I'll show you how much he loves you. You let me tear up his finances. You let me at his health. Christy's sitting over here tonight. Christy, how old were you when you had to wreck? She's 18 years old. She was married to a preacher boy, and they hope, have I got this right? Planning on going into ministry. Have a car wreck. He's killed. She's crippled the rest of her life. Serving God, going to go into ministry. Can you explain that? I can't explain that. Mrs. Garapi's daddy over in the Congo, serving God, killed by the very people he's trying to reach. Can you explain that? I can't explain that. I don't know. And I'm telling you something. The older we get, the more we know the Word of God, the more we really back up and see life. We can't explain it, won't we just shut our mouth and say, listen, I just trust God with it. That's all I can tell you. Because we cannot see. Job could not see up there in heaven. He couldn't see what was going on. Let me tell you this. He deceives. Another thing is he deceives. By the way, on this thing of affliction, Jesus Christ literally says about Christ when he's healing people, he said he went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Lo, hath not Satan bound this 18 years. Remember the woman you were talking about? Bound? Boy, that was good the other night, Brother Queen. I appreciated it. That helped me. I could see God was helping you more than anybody. You was enjoying it, amen? I'm telling you what, God gives you something like that. It's a blessing. But all I'm saying is God can afflict us. He can deceive us. Satan can deceive us. Revelation 12:9, the Bible said, he deceiveth the whole world. This country right now is deceived. Revelation 20, and shall go out to deceive the nations of the earth. Satan is a deceiver. Revelation 20:10, the last thing said about Satan says, if the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. You say, Reggie, can he deceive you and I? Save people, he sure can. He can deceive you and I in thinking that God hadn't loved us. That God hadn't been good to us. That God's not caring about us. Have you been deceived that way tonight? Have you been deceived and said, well, God ain't answering my prayer. God don't care. I don't care what you say tonight. God loves you. I don't care what you're experiencing tonight. God loves you. God has your best in mind. You're His child. Nothing can take you out of His hand. It was Satan that caused David to disobey God, I said a while ago. It was Satan that got in Judas to betray Christ. It was Satan that caused Peter to rebuke Jesus and tell him he ought not go to the cross. It was Satan who got in Ananias and caused him to lie to the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts. What I'm trying to get across tonight is there is tremendous satanic activity among God's people. I'm going to quit there tonight. About time to quit, ain't it, Elijah?